okay, that's prophet, now you the ones. And after that, somebody called me, said, Pastor, you are playing a dangerous game. I said, what is the danger? I say, how can you come and project somebody like that under your ministry? He said, they will finish your ministry for you. And I told them, we are an end-time message-believing church. We are not a denomination. Praise the Lord. We all know our position. Hallelujah. Why should you, a pastor, feel threatened because somebody else is anointed in the church? And as soon as you see the grace of God coming on a brother and a sister, you say, attention, don't they go that way? You say, You know, me and you, this place cannot fit us, so I advise you to leave and go. It happens in a denomination. It's ignorance. No! Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Even if all of you are prophets, you can never be in the same level of grace. You can't be in the same level of grace. And so in this church, we recognize that. Those who don't recognize it, they can't stay here for long. They will leave. And some people think that when they leave, then the church will crumble. No. You don't know where you are. Praise the Lord. The church can never crumble. There's one prophet that we projected here. When we stopped him from charging people money with his gift, he left to go and start a prayer house. Somebody who cannot even write his name. He has ministry. So that food to eat. You see? Now some people followed him and went there. But all of them started crawling back one by one. They're crawling back, because they will soon discover that Christianity is more than seeing vision for me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's wrong. God has raised this church to let other churches see an example of a Bible church. A Bible church. No man is an island. No man is an island. No matter how important the leg is, he still needs the hand. Is it correct? Praise the Lord. You say you see vision. No matter how important the eye is, hallelujah, he still needs the leg. He still needs the leg. Until the eye, we see danger coming. He will need the leg to help him run. And Apostle Paul likened the body of Christ to our body. He said, one body, but many members. The hand, the leg. He said, some are seen, some are not seen. And together, make up this body. And if the whole body function together, the body becomes a healthy body. When one member suffers, the rest suffer with it. That's what Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But not too many people understand. People will gather thousands of people. Only one man will minister. It's wrong. It's wrong. And in a proper setting, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Somebody, you know, was making a statement yesterday, and I closed his mouth. He said, your ministers, they don't know the word. They don't know the word. I say, when you say our ministers, who do you mean? You just generalize it. He said, especially the prophets. Then I told him, I said, do I know the word? He said, yes. I said, are they seeing vision? He said, no. I said, so it gets something to me, self. I don't know. Praise the Lord. It's true now. That's my own calling. That's his own calling. Amen. William Branham said, I did not go to school to know how to read too much about the Bible. He said, but one thing I know is, I know the God that wrote the Bible. Amen. If you already know the God that wrote the Bible, so I think this Bible is to enable me to know the God. So if I already know him, then why are you disturbing yourself? Say, I don't go to school to read the Bible. Apostle Paul says, are all teachers? Are all prophets? He said, do all speak in tongues? Denomination, Pentecost, I'm not going to answer that one. No. Because in the denomination, everybody must speak in tongues. Pentecost has everybody must speak in tongues. Everybody cannot speak in tongues. Oh. Tongue is evidence of the Holy Ghost. Who told you that? Speaking in tongues is no evidence that you have received the Holy Ghost. Oh, because I have seen it. Demons speak in tongues. Is there any language that demons cannot speak? Is there any language that demons cannot speak? Eh? Is Brother Chinedu here? Eh? Chinedu was in my office yesterday. One sister, if that demon was speaking correct English. Eh? When one sister entered my office, I know the sister is here. I saw your notes today. I've not seen you. I'll see you later. Eh? A sister followed somebody who came to pay vow. I said, where your own? He said, no. So she know the work. She don't make any vow. She just follow her sister. She wanted to use that opportunity to come and make her pray for her. I said, I don't pray for people today. I come collect vow. What's your problem? She won't marry. But her problem is that one day, last year, she had a relationship. They would have married sometime in November or so. Then, while they were preparing for that marriage, they had a dream. She saw herself before a rock, and a python came out there. And the python was laughing at her, telling her, say, I told you, you belong to me, you no go ever marry. Go marry, make I see. He said she woke up like joke, you don't see that man again. Pastor, pray for me. Oh. I was trying to tell her, will you come for VG tomorrow? Because I'm not ready for prayer. This kind your own. Before I ask, it's like the angel in the room was a no-nonsense angel. Started on her. The demon began to speak correct English. Because when that sister recovered, I said, do you know what you are saying? He said, she talk anything. I said, talk. No, even know what he talk. Because she was not the one talking. Demon was saying, I lie. I can never leave her. You belong to me. Can never go anywhere. Yeah? I was chasing her out of my office before we grab and bring and come back. The demon spoke so many things. I don't have to go into all that detail until I told that nonsense demon to go. Praise the Lord. She's free. She will soon marry. I'm sure she will soon marry. But I'm only using that to let you know that demons can talk. Not the only tongue. They can speak a whole language. Papa. And so many of you, I want to use this opportunity to say this. So many of you are suffering from one problem or the other. Our youth camp that is coming up now, we are dedicating it to I must marry. We are going to fast. As many of you that can come, please try to come. And let's handle the area of marriage. Single brothers and sisters, we are going to devote at least 3 sessions. And if we not finish, if we come back, we will go back again. Only I must marry camp. You must marry. Whether the devil likes it or not. It's true. Praise the Lord. So make sure you don't miss that camp. Don't miss it. Please, don't miss it. Because there are so many of you. That demon said that your mother will say that He said, your mother has married you, given you to me already. So you can never go anywhere. And when I made a statement that I dissolve the marriage you have in the name of Jesus, the demon shouted again, okay, give me back my money. Give me back my money. Okay, give me back my money. Give me back my money. So it means there was actually, and by the time the sister recovered, I was asking her, there was actually a marriage that took place when she was small with the water spirit. They took her to the river and did some things. They did a marriage there. And some of you, that is the problem you are having that is tormenting you. But the grace of God is here to deliver you. Hallelujah. The grace of God is here to deliver you. God that made you to locate this ministry, he brought you here for a purpose. Brought you here for a purpose. All those demons, they know. Why was that demon complaining? He knew who he was standing before. The demon knew who he was standing before. He knew that was his end. Amen. Any demon, any covenant you have entered into, even from this night, it will scatter in the name of Jesus. If you know, answer now, you serve it. Praise God. Praise the Lord. So speaking in tongue is not the evidence. I have had familiar spirits speaking in tongue before. It's not the evidence. The temple of the Holy Ghost. I still have some few minutes. Can I continue? Praise the Lord. Remember, I was quoting 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 7, where we see materials made with already made materials. The temple was built with already made materials, and that it was from materials from all over the world. They were materials from all over the world. That lets you know that the body of Christ will be made up of members from all over the world. It's very interesting if God grants you understanding of the Bible. Hallelujah. And I used to say, we have seven church ages. The last church age is the seventh church age, known as the Laodicean church age in the Bible, Revelation chapter 2. The Laodicean church age is the last church age. The seventh church age. And that is the age that will see the rapture. And we see it typed in the story of Enoch. Hallelujah. You know, in Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, Enoch was raptured. I hope we know that's the first man to be raptured. That's the first man that did not die. It's Enoch. He walked with God, and God just took him away. He didn't die. And you will wonder, when I read that scripture, I just say, why will it be Enoch? Why should Enoch be the one? Why will he not die? Then I looked at also Elijah. Hallelujah. In 2 Kings chapter 2, in verse 11, he too was raptured. And very recently, the meaning was quickened to me. I got so excited. Hallelujah. The seventh church age messenger, because we saw the 16 seven stars that were in the right hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, Revelation chapter 1, verse 16 and verse 20. And we saw that they were the chamberlains that we see in the book of Esther, chapter 1, chapter 2, that prepared the queen for the king. In every age, there was a star messenger, starting with Apostle Paul in the first church age, preparing the bride for the first church age, and on to the seventh church age. And God raised a man by the name of William Marion Branham in this seventh church age. The one interesting thing about him, hallelujah, is that he is the one that fulfilled Malachi chapter 4, part B of verse 6. For he said, behold, I will send my servant Elijah the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now, the interesting thing I want to bring out is that that is the ministry that came with the Elijah anointing. That is the ministry that came with the Elijah anointing. And it manifested in the seventh church age. And Jude verse 14 says, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, was raptured. Jude referred to Enoch as the seventh from Adam. The seventh from Adam was raptured. And go and read it and count it. Put away a cane and count it. The way it's written there, you see exactly Enoch is the seventh when you begin to count from Adam. The seventh was raptured. Telling you that in the seventh church age, there will be a rapture. And it will be under the Elijah anointing. If you don't catch that, you may not catch any other thing to excite you. That's why I know we are perfectly in the perfect will of God. This is the age of the rapture. Seven is God's number for completion. After seven is eternity. Eight is God's number for a beginning, new beginning. Praise the Lord. That's also the number for eternity. So that means there is no other age after this age. No other age for the Gentiles. We're in the last church age. And this is the age that we see the rapture. And if you read the Bible again, I pointed out last week when Jesus Christ was talking about the fig tree, and that fig tree is referring to Israel. And he mentioned the generation that shall see these things, Israel, stand as a nation. The Lord Jesus Christ mentioned, he saw how that in 1870 they will be scattered. But Jesus Christ, in line with other prophecies in the Bible, was foretelling that they will come back to their land. And when they come back, nothing will move them again because they are coming back to receive their Messiah. And he said, the generation, he said, this generation shall not pass until these things be fulfilled. Which generation? The generation that we see Israel stand as a nation, that generation will not pass. And Israel became a nation about 60 years ago. And a generation is 100 years. He said, that generation is the generation that we see the rapture. And if you calculate very well, the 2 days period, it falls within exactly this period. What I'm saying is serious matter. That one day, when we cross the river, somebody will see Pastor Moses and hug him. Oh, my pastor, I made it. Hey, there will be celebration. Somebody will remember these things I'm saying here today. Hallelujah. Because what I'm saying is different from what you always hear. You hear prosperity, prosperity. Tomorrow you'll be billionaire. Tomorrow you'll be this. Tomorrow you'll be this. And then, if not, they'll be discussing how demons are walking. And demons are walking. And demons. Or they'll be teaching you 300 steps to become a mighty man. It's okay. It's good to be a mighty man. Go ahead. Continue to be mighty. 300 steps to success. Go ahead. That's very good. Be successful in everything you do. But one of these days, you will see that there is time no longer. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because if you go to 2 Peter chapter 1, if you read it from verse 5, to 9, that is the stature of a perfect man. And there are seven of them, those seven virtues. Because he said, add to your faith seven things. Number one is virtue. Add to your virtue knowledge, add to your knowledge, temperance, add to your temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Seven of them. If you can grow to this stature, you become a perfect man. Why are they seven? Because God will finish building his church within seven church ages. The same way he's doing to the church, the same way he's doing to you, the individual. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so, before, amen, after the rapture takes place, then the 70th week will start. But before the rapture, just before the rapture will take place, there are things that you need to know. We will see some scriptures begin to be fulfilled. We have Zechariah chapter 12. Before the rapture. We are expected to go in the rapture, but there are certain scriptures in the Bible that will fulfill before our eyes, before we go. That is why the bride of Jesus Christ will never tell you Jesus can come tomorrow. The rapture can be tomorrow. You will never hear us say that, because the rapture will come according as is written in the Bible. There are things that will fulfill. But he also mentioned the time, the hour no man knows. And I always say it is true, because the rapture will take place through two means. It will meet some people in the grave, and it will meet some of us still alive. Now, those who will go through the grave, Christ will come and take you to the grave by death. No one knows when you will die. And concerning death, your death can be tomorrow. So concerning death, it's only what we can say, he can come tomorrow. Jesus can come for you tomorrow. No one knows when he will die. But certainly, if the Lord tarries, every one of us will die one way or the other. And so, since you don't know when you will die, it's expected that you live a life ready for him anytime he comes. But concerning the translation, the coming of the Lord, there are scriptures that we are watching that will fulfill before our eyes before the rapture. Now, in Zechariah chapter 12, if you read from verse 1 to 8, the emphasis there is that there will, Jerusalem will become a focal point. He said he will make him a cup of trembling, a burdensome stone. And you all know that it is pointing to it already. The whole world, is there any day you don't receive news concerning Jerusalem? The whole Arab world, they're interested in that place. The whole United Nations, every day that have Jerusalem. The Jews that have Jerusalem. Everybody that have Jerusalem. Why? There's something about that city. The Bible calls it the city of God. Hallelujah. There's something about it, because that is where Christ is coming to stay and rule for 1,000 years. And when in 1870, the Jews were scattered the way they were scattered around Europe and the whole world like that, the Arabs and those Palestinians now moved into that land. And where Solomon's temple was built, that is where they went and built their mosque. And the whole Muslim world declared that mosque as their second most holy place. And when a Muslim tells you this is a holy place, it means he is ready to die for that place. And that is where the trouble is now in the whole world. People talk about the third world war coming. That is where the thing will cause. It's Jerusalem that will cause it. Praise the Lord. You read it, and there's also another war in Zephaniah chapter 2. Read it from verse 4 to 15. And Isaiah chapter 11, from verse 11 to 15, another war there. Read the whole of Isaiah chapter 19. Another word there. It's the same word that these prophets were seeing from various angles. And Jeremiah chapter 49, read the first three verses there. It's the same battle, but it is a miraculous war. Ezekiel also saw it in Ezekiel chapter 38 and chapter 39. That war you saw there. This war, God is the one allowing it to happen. Remember, where you call the Middle East now, where most of those lands, even some lands in Egypt, cut if you look at the map, including Jordan, including all these places, around there, if you look at the map of where God gave as Canaan land, God gave to Abraham and his seed, it covers all of them. And God told the Jews, every inch of it, he will gather it and give it back to them. But how will they take over their land? We all know in 1965, the Six-Day War that was fought. 1967. The Six-Day War that was fought. That was the period that they used that war and expanded their boundary. And that is where the Palestinians are called the occupied territories. But the Jews that know their history, they are telling the Palestinians, we are not occupying anything, it's our land. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But God will use this battle, hallelujah, use this war, fight these wars, and through this war, the whole world, if you notice, Ezekiel 38:39, the prophecy there says, you know, they will be led by the king of the north. When we broke it down, Russia will lead the Arab nations to come to fight Israel. And you know, up to now, among the superpowers, Russia is still the closest friend of the Arabs. All their weapons from Israel. Whatever they build is from Russia. And Russia has a veto vote in the United Nations. So anything you want to do against any Arab nation, Russia can veto it and cancel it. You can't take any action. And the time is going to come. Remember, they don't believe in God anyway. They are the ones that will fulfill that king of the north there. He will lead them. They will come. It will certainly happen. And the Bible says, the God of Israel shall arise. Blessed be the name of the Lord. William Branham saw a vision that God showed him, that seven visions that will come to pass before the coming of the Lord. And he saw it in 1933. Seven. He mentioned them one after the other. In 1933, and all that he spoke, five of them have come to pass exactly. Mentioned that of Hitler, mentioned Mussolini, exactly what he said will come to pass. They came to pass. He also mentioned where he said that he saw that state, that was in 1933, the state of, you know, moral decay. We reach a stage where the vision, God showed him some women walking in the street just with something like fig leaf covering their private part. That's all, like a leaf. And then they were walking in the street and strolling in the street. And you know, it is gradually descending to that now. You know, when Satan wants to naked them, you know, he's wiser. He won't just do it. If a woman jumps up, brah, like that, and enter road, naked, never can they go. Police go catch him now. You know, I mean, even his relation, her relation will grab her, say, madness, madness, madness. You know. So Satan knows better. Satan has to do it small. When Satan targets you, he can plan for you for 20 years to achieve what he wants to achieve. You're going to do it small. When a church wants to deviate, it doesn't just talk like that now. It will be small. Before you know what, he will start to preach grace. You see, it's grace. You see, this right assembly, you are too hard. You see, God was opening my eye. I was seeing that we should allow the women come the way they are. When they are convinced, then they can stop the trouser. You don't force them. Just leave them the way they are. This is so cool. Just go ahead. You see, God is good. You know, don't be too harsh. You see, don't be too harsh. Don't be too harsh. And do you know that in this church now, if I turn now and say, tomorrow I say, hey, you're free, you can wear trousers. Before I finish that, some women will put on their trousers. Yes, in this church. Not new members, so old members. I've seen some of them who left this church. Some of them were even prophesying in this church with microphone. I was watching a video of one of them in a church. See how she don't fry her head. No cover her head. Sit down there. Boom. I said, hey, where's Satan? One finished person. Anyway, when Satan wants to naked women, first and foremost, he went to the church first. You know, his target is always the church. I hope you know that. Some people are looking for the address of Satan, and they are thinking that he's in one occult group somewhere. They think he's in underwater, he's under marine. Somebody say, I met Lucifer face to face. I say, where? He say, under the water. I say, it's a lie. It's a lie. Lucifer is not living underwater. Where is Satan living? Church. He's living in the church. That is where his activity is. He's in the business of quenching the light. And it's not just any other church. There are if he has finished condemning any church, the next thing is he moves to the next one. Anywhere he sees small light, his assignment will be there. So anybody that is looking for Satan is going to say, they go, my name, what I go, India, go, India. Hey, now small demon, they deceive you, they act like say they do anything. He come to the church. When it was time to begin to bring nakedness to the church, what did he do? What did Satan do? He came and began to say, you see, he started by convincing the preachers that people can sit down in the church without hair, women. They started by removing their scarf from their hair. It's in this age that thing started. In the days of Martin Luther, in the days of John Wesley, everyone, you could not even put on wedding ring in the days of John Wesley. Holiness. Everyone covered their hair because the Bible commands so. But the devil came and said, verse 15 of 1 Corinthians 11 said, the hair is given to the woman for a covering, you see? So it's the hair. If the hair is given for a covering, then why will it be in the Bible? Is hair not a natural thing? Why will the Bible say when praying or prophesying, cover your hair? So that was accepted. Now Pentecostal churches, it's only those old Orthodox churches that still maintain it. But any of these Philorite churches, it doesn't matter churches. No. You're beautiful. Leave it like that. You look like a grandmother. Come on here. I don't preach that religion. Leave your hair. Very fine. It's the devil and people don't know it. Then when you finish that one, see the stage that it is now. Just see the stage that it is now. Just, you know, what I'm saying, you won't see. Visit some of the Pentecostal churches. Some of us, we are night crawlers before. We used to go to nightclub. There are some churches that when I enter, I would think I'm in a nightclub. club. Now, in this church now, we sit down, women different, men different. They will tell you, sit together. There's a reason why I sit together. If they bring a naked woman and sit near you, do you think they want you to concentrate? No. If you are healthy and a naked woman sits near you, if you are healthy, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's the truth. Church, I keep hammering it. And I'll continue to say it. And we shall never change. Never ever change. Because I hear the voice of the Spirit say, this is God's standard for this age. For this age. I see a woman go to church. There is no place of religion. Religion, a place of religious worship. The whole world that you can dress anyhow and enter. None. Is it a mosque? You can enter anyhow. Is it a Hindu shrine? You can enter anyhow. Is it Guru Maharaj shrine? You can go anyhow. Okay, your shrine, your village, can you enter anyhow? Some shrines, you go with back. And every shrine you want to go, you remove your shoe before you enter. Then when you come to the place where the Holy of Holies dwells, the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth that dwells in holiness, where he is, you are coming to his presence, then you are coming anyhow. Coming, it's grace. It's grace. It's grace. Which grace? Praise God. We are coming back to Bible Christianity. If you come to this church, this is the old time religion. This is the old time religion. This is the old time religion. It's good enough for me. Hey, don't charge me to sing now. Don't charge me to sing. Make I tell them something first. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's the old time religion. I'll sit down there and be deceived. Until there are some pastors that their members we beat their shaking when they discover, say, rapture don't take place. I'm sure you discover that he was deceiving you all along. That's the truth. And those who have come to Bride Assembly before, there are those that will weep and gnash their teeth. Yeah. 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 Tell your neighbor, if you won't go home, don't hinder me. Stop like that. Stop like that. Don't stop like that. Let's go to the next one. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So that war is fought. Oh, I was telling you something about William Branham. I'm very sorry. Let me complete that story. Five of those seven visions have come to pass. It remained two. The two that remain, five have come to pass exactly. The two that remain, one of them is that a woman will rule America. The second one that will come to pass, he said he saw, that was the seventh one. The seventh one that comes to pass, which is the last vision he saw. He saw America blown up to pieces. He said he heard a loud noise, and when he turned to look, it was America was in craters, and you know, everywhere was in smoke, blown to pieces. And it was the same one that explained it further, that he believed that America must face the judgment of God. He said, he made this statement. He said, if God does not, I mean, if God spares America, He said, then God must wake up Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize to them. He said, he is an American. He said, because that is where the factory of immorality, where immorality is produced and exported to the whole world. He said, it's America. Praise the Lord. Secondly, so he said that America must face judgment. It must face judgment. Now, secondly, the reason why America will be blown up is that for now, America is the backbone of Israel. There's no nation that can fight Israel. And you think America will fold their hands? They will fight you. They have a defense pact. You fight America, they are the ones financing them. All their arms is America giving them. All their weapons, America giving. All their planes, they are made in America. That is their power base. That is their backbone. But God does not like to share his glory with anyone. Of course, he's the one using them now. But when he has finished using them, he will pack them aside. So that the whole world will know that Israel is serving a living God. The first thing that Russia and her allies will do to be able to go and fight that Ezekiel 38-39 war, the first thing they will do is to silence the backbone of Israel first. They will release one atomic bomb on America. So that America will be so reduced in power. Now, they will be too weak to face them. Then they will march to Israel. And when they are moving to Israel, then the God of Israel shall arise. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Bible says that for 7 months, they are still burning their weapons. The weapons of the allies. They are still burning them. 7 months. Read it, 38, 39, Ezekiel. And for 7 years, hallelujah, 7 months they are burying. 7 years they are still burning the, you know, those arms. The God of Israel. And because, hallelujah, because of what the whole world will see, they will not know that these are not ordinary people. Then you understand Isaiah chapter 60, if you read it from verse 1, where he says, arise and shine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And if you read that, you will notice that the whole world, because that will be the period, amen, they will now knock off that mosque. You take advantage of that battle and knock off that mosque. And the Bible says in verse 6, it speaks about Sheba. Sheba is Saudi Arabia. Their wealth, they will upbring it to Israel to build, to rebuild their temple. And that is the temple that Jesus Christ is coming to reign. That is the same temple that the Antichrist is interested in coming to see. But the emphasis in Isaiah 60 is that the whole world will be supplying money, everything. Take, you know, to rebuild the city, to rebuild the temple. Emphasis is on that temple, particularly that temple. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And because of that battle, listen, church, United Nations will be dissolved. Because what is the use of United Nations again? It was supposed to maintain peace. Then which peace is there again? So because of it, the whole world will now be looking for alternative to peace. And that is when the whole world will be looking for a man that can be respected enough by the whole world to be the whole world leader. Then we go to the next verse. Daniel chapter 9. Hallelujah. Are we there? Amen. Let me read from verse 26. And after 80 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the world desolations are determined. Praise the Lord. And he shall confirm the covenant with many. He there is the prince that shall come. The prince that shall come shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Many here is many nations. How long will it last? It's supposed to last for 1 week. That is 7 years. Amen. But you know, when they will be entering that covenant, they will not say it is to last for 7 years. It's the Spirit of God that knows how long that covenant will last. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. So, the Antichrist will come and have a covenant with many. He will, you know, but before then, praise the Lord, before the rapture, I'm telling you things that will happen before the rapture. The Antichrist, hallelujah, will be revealed. Everybody, all the bride members will have known, see, now this man, see his name, see his address, see his picture. We see that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. He will be revealed before the coming of the Lord. He will be revealed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. And while this thing is about, is just before he is given power through that covenant, that is when the seven thunders will sound. Amen. Hallelujah. That is, the mercy seat will be over. Revelation chapter 10. That is where you see that, if you read it from verse 1. That angel that stands up, one leg on the sea, one leg on the earth, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Standing up from where? He stands up from the mercy seat that he has been sitting for the past 2,000 years. That means grace is over. And when he cried with a loud voice, the Bible says seven thunders uttered their voices. Praise the Lord. You can see that in Luke chapter 13, where he stands up from verse 23 to verse 30. Revelation chapter 10 from verse 1 to verse 6. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, remember, there are three stages of the rapture. The first one is the shout, which is the message of the prophet, which William Branham sounded. Come out of her, my people. When you come out, the next thing that we are expecting now is those seven thunders in Revelation chapter 10. Because he said, the voice of the archangel. That voice of the archangel is Revelation chapter 10, when he cried with a loud voice that there should be time no longer. And when he cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And those seven thunders will be seven men, I believe, on earth. There will be one in Africa, one in every continent, that will begin to tell the bride certain things that will not be written in this Bible. William Branham said that among the things they will say will include the day, the time, the hour of the coming of the Lord. They will tell the bride something that will give you rapturing faith. Something that will make you more heavenly than earthly. Something that will make you act like Daniel. There is no more time. It's home going time. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then the rapture will strike. As we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 51 and 52, and the scripture we quoted earlier, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, from verse 13 to 17. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I want you to note Jesus Christ in concluding this teaching in Matthew chapter 24. Let's read it. Matthew chapter 24. Hallelujah. Concerning the events, concerning his second coming, this is what he said. Verse 25. Amen. Amen. Verse 23. Matthew 24 from verse 23. Are we there? 23, not 25. Verse 23. Then, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. Church, listen carefully. This is Jesus Christ himself saying it. I read it again. Then, that is future. Future, that time, at that time. If any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders. Insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. Now verse 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Now, this is how he said, the coming of the Lord, this is how it will be. Hallelujah. He said, as the lightning from the east, to where? It says where? In the west. That is the sun. The sun rises from the east. Amen. If we are together, shout amen. Amen. Are we together? I'm closing in 5 minutes. If I pass 5 minutes, let somebody collect my microphone. The lightning there is the sun. The sun rises from the east. Listen, I want you to listen. Catch something, those of you hearing us for the first time. When the sun rises from the east, where does it set? In the west. And that is how the gospel, because remember he said this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world, then the end will come. The sun there is the light of the gospel sun shining on the earth. Where did it start from? In the east. Where? In Jerusalem, the day of Pentecost, that's where the thing began. And watch how the light moved through Europe. The restoration process was taking place. Martin Luther in Germany came to England, John Wesley. From there, it was moving like that. See those reformers. And where the light shone in this seven church age, where did it shine? In America. From the Azusa Street revival in 1906, it brought a revival over there in America. And that is where God picked himself the prophet of this age, the man William Marion Braham. That is to let you know, that is how the gospel will move. But then he said, for where the carcass is, there the eagles will gather. Why? Eagles are heavenly birds. The bride of Jesus Christ is likened to the eagle. And why did he say where the carcass is? That is where the fresh meat is. Because the word for every age is the meat for that season. When it was with Apostle Paul, it moved on. During the restoration period now, when God raised up Martin Luther from the Catholic, that was the meat for that time. That is where all the eagles gathered around that doctrine, around that great move of God. And then it moved again to John Wesley. That is where the whole meat was. And that is where all the eagles gathered. And it moved to America. In this ministry of William Branham and every true eagle, that is where they are feasting now. And after the west, when the sun sets in the west, where else does it appear? Where else does it appear? The next time you will see the sun, you will see it in the east. Letting us know that after the seventh church age, the sun is setting in America through this message we are preaching now. It will end with the rapture. Because there will be no more light for the gospel, I mean for the Gentiles. He will appear in the east to start the last 7 years that was left for them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But by that time, the rapture has taken place. That is why we used to say that when the rapture takes place, we shall be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ for 7 years. Because that's the period that he will be dealing with the Jews. After 7 years, he has concluded it, and then he will come back. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. My 5 minutes, don't you? Amen. Not too many people like my message because you see, I didn't go to Bible school, so they didn't teach me how to speak so that people will not be offended. Eh? They don't know how to polish it. You know, there's grammar, you know, so that, you know. I watch television between 7 o'clock and 12:30. One church has on Sunday that they have 5 services. First service, second service, third service, fourth service, fifth service. 12:30, fifth service. So I was wondering what did they tell them. Of course, why should they waste the people's time when they have nothing to tell them? You have nothing to tell the people. Why are you wasting their time? The church, I have something to tell you. And you have to give me time to tell you. It will help you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When we come back next week, you will see what will happen within those 7 years in Israel. Within those 7 years. That is when you will see the tribulation. You will notice some churches, some pastors, they preach that the bride will undergo tribulation. Church, the bride of Jesus Christ will not undergo any tribulation. When the mark of the 666 will be coming, it will come after we have gone for about 3.5 years before the mark will start. So it does not concern us. Praise the Lord. The tribulation is for the Jews, and we shall see it in the Bible. And the foolish virgins. Praise God. Let's clap our hands for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Our time.